T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A teaching shortage both in Connecticut and across the country. The statistics I saw cited were that there are 280,000 fewer teachers in America than before the pandemic. The number cited in Hartford, they are short 250 teachers. New Haven, 300. There's a lot of questions about why, and then there's questions about how do you fix it? How do you compensate? Well, we want to talk with KTS, president of CEA, of course, Connecticut Education Association. Kate, good morning. How's your summer been?
Good morning. It has been a busy summer. We've been working on this very question since, school got out.
Now, you have a busy summer. That means the rest of the three seasons are going to be insane.
Most likely.
Listen, this is something, and again, I mean, you may or may not know this, but I started my career in education. I was a teacher for a short time. I was a terrible teacher, but it taught me to appreciate teachers even more. And I, when I decided to go that route for a career, my dad was really supportive, and we always used to talk about it because I think my first job was like $12,000. And
right.
And he thought that education maybe, from a financial standpoint would suffer, then private industry would come in and try to, help out. It never really happened that way. But we used to, back in the early 90s, he and I talked about how the salaries were low and how it might fix itself. So before I get into that side of it, though, I just want to ask you in general, can you describe to people how acute the issue is here in Connecticut?
Well, I know I have teachers who are starting the school year already being told, we need you to teach extra sections, and we need you to be a teacher and a quarter or a teacher and a half. We have class sizes that are larger than normal or certainly desirable, because if you don't have a body, you still have the children. So what ends up happening is class sizes are increased and teacher loads are increased. It's, we still need to take care of the kids. But it really puts an incredible amount of pressure on the teachers that are in the schools.
Right, and that teacher-student ratio, kids don't get a good education if there's that student-to-teacher ratio is too high.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in my early years in teaching, I remember I had a class of 30, and I would have students in the back of the room that I physically couldn't get to. There were too many desks and chairs and things in the way. And if your teacher can't even physically access you, you can well imagine that, you start to feel like, hey, what's going on,
right.
Whatever. So it's not a positive experience. And we've worked really hard to have conversations and get those class sizes down. But if you don't have the people, you don't have the option.
Okay, so the first of many questions that you can't have all the answers to, but the first question is, why is this happening?
Well, I think it's happening for kind of the perfect storm of reasons. You have the pandemic, which brought to light some of the working conditions issues that we've been talking about, the indoor air quality, the fact that our facilities really have not been maintained at proper levels. And, I worked in a high school building that wasn't air conditioned. I was on the second floor. The classroom would get easily 90 and above in the heat of the day. And the heat of the day has now been increasing the number of days that we have that issue.
Wait, so people just, so teachers, because of that situation, teachers just quit?
Well, I think they realize this is not being respected, that the work they're doing isn't, and why am I taking these risks? Because in the pandemic, the lack of ventilation meant you're sitting in classrooms with the windows open as the sole source of ventilation, which meant in the wintertime, you're sitting there with the windows open and it's snowing. And so there's a real situation where you're questioning, why am I doing this? Am I safe? Is this a good choice? Does this district, respect the profession? Is this what they think we should be doing in schools? So I think it's emblematic of the whole question of, is this the working conditions I want?
Right, and that transfers into then pay too as well, right? Because if they're going to work that hard, they want to be compensated for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's really been a longstanding issue in education, that we are really compensated and put on the defense with the question of, well, won't you do it for the children? And the, you know, teachers by and large do everything for the children, but at some point they need to take care of their own families, their own selves. And we need to make sure that the incomes they're provided allow them to live in the communities that they work in. And right now we have teachers like in Darien that their starting salary is $54,000.
Yeah, they can't live within a half an hour.
No, they definitely can't. And so we really have to look at what are we doing and how are we supporting these teachers to encourage them to not just come into the profession, but stay in the profession and not need to work, you know, drive an Uber on the weekend.
So we're,
Miguel
talking
Cardona about said that the other day.
Right. I'm sure that that's true. Kate Diaz from CEA joining us. We only have a couple of minutes and I have so many things I want to talk about, so I don't mean to cut you off. I just.
No.
And so you said it was a perfect storm. Are there any other contributing factors real quick before I get to my next set of questions?
Sure. I think the workforce shortage across the board is problematic. Teachers are great employees. We're motivated, educated, creative, and other industries are cherry-picking teachers right out from the classroom.
Okay. So then the next set of questions involves how do we change it? How can it shift? I mean, I don't understand what the steps would be to I mean, we can't spend, you know, $500 million or $1 billion to upgrade everything in terms of ventilation in these post-Second World War buildings. And then, you know, we can't just give 10 grand across the board to every teacher. So, like, what's going to happen here?
Well, I think there's going to be the things we do in the here and now, the quick things. I think one of the things that we're looking for at CEA is essential workers have been given pandemic bonuses, and teachers have been specifically excluded from those. So we're going back to the legislature and having conversations about what does pandemic credit look like for
Why
teachers.
Were they excluded? Why? What was the thinking on that?
Well, they basically were like, you have access to municipal funds, the ESSER funds that were sent to the school districts, except that money never went to the teachers. We didn't feel that money. The you know, $100 million that went to school districts was often never felt by the teachers that were in that district. So, you know, we did not experience any of that recognition for all of the work that was done. You know, we got a lot of pats on the back, but no action. And I think that really has to be addressed at some point, where you can't sit there and say essential workers, essential workers, essential workers, and then not acknowledge that you have this massive group that really hasn't been credited for that. So we're working with our legislators to try and figure out how to fix that situation, either through pension credits, you know, or some acknowledgement in a payout of kinds. But like you said, we have to be conscious of the financial situation. So there's some short-term things that I think we are looking at. You know, are there certification issues that we could address? Are there other pension issues we can address? And I think then we're going to look at long-term issues, which is, you know, what is the right salary in Connecticut and how do we move those? And how, you know, we invest a good deal of money in education. How do we ensure that that goes into the teacher workforce? Because sometimes money goes to districts that doesn't ever go into the teacher workforce. And we know that the best way to support students is to support teachers, because that's how you have the people that you need. That's how you have the best quality people that you can get. And you have to pay them. And I think we can look at a bunch of creative ways. You could go at this with tax credits. You could go at it with housing credits. You know, there's a multitude of ways that the state can look to support educators, draw them in. You know, I'd like to see us start recruiting from Florida or Wisconsin, where teachers are really mistreated. Let's pull some people in from the other parts of the country that have decided that teachers aren't of any value.
Well, you know,
let's be better.
Yeah. I mean, we're out of time, and I have so many. I wanted to ask about recruitment. We don't have really time to get into it because, you know, we didn't even get into the fact that parents are broadly disrespectful often of our teachers, which I find disgusting and is another issue. And there's also the gender thing. I mean, I had two years where my kids went to an elementary school with only one male faculty member and then a year with zero. And I think it's important to have, you know, a better distribution of you know, male and female teachers. But that's for another day, because, I mean, you know, this is a topic that's super important to everybody. And we appreciate the time, Kate. Really, we would do.
No problem. I look forward to the next time we get to chat some more.
Yeah, we'll do it. Hopefully, maybe we'll do it right after Labor Day or something, you know, once we kick into gear with school.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, Kate Diaz, thank you so much. Of course, president of CEA, the Connecticut Education Association. It's just there's a lot to talk about, and it's you know, I mean, 300 teachers they need in New Haven, 250 in Hartford.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.